In the rain-soaked slums of 1930s Limerick, Ireland, a young boy's consciousness awakens to a world of perpetual dampness and grinding poverty. Four-year-old Frank McCourt finds himself on a ship bound for Ireland after his parents decide to leave Depression-era Brooklyn following his baby sister's death. His mother, Angela, pregnant and depressed, points out the Statue of Liberty before becoming violently ill, an ominous sign of what awaits them across the Atlantic. The Ireland they encounter bears little resemblance to the romantic homeland Frank's father, Malachy, had described in his stories. Instead, it's a place where the rain creates a cacophony of hacking coughs, bronchial rattles, asthmatic wheezes, consumptive croaks. This incessant moisture becomes almost a character itself. Clothes never properly dry, walls gleam with dampness, and illness flourishes in the perpetual wet. The family settles in Limerick's Lanes, where they occupy increasingly squalid dwellings as their circumstances deteriorate. Their first home floods regularly with sewage from the lane. Their second sits beside the community's only lavatory, filling their lives with unbearable stench. Without electricity or running water, they burn furniture, books, even the wooden beams from their own walls when desperation peaks. What would you do if your home regularly filled with sewage and the walls ran with damp? For the McCourts, this wasn't a hypothetical question, but daily reality. Malachy McCourt lives a life of stark contrasts. Sober, he shares tales of Irish heroes. Drunk, he follows a destructive cycle, disappearing on payday to waste family wages, returning to wake his hungry children, demanding they pledge to die for Ireland, and singing patriotic songs until passing out. Angela, Frank's anchor, creates remarkable survival strategies despite limited education. When Malachy squanders money, she seeks charity. When evicted, she finds new housing. Without food, she negotiates credit with local merchants. This endless struggle takes its toll. Angela battles depression after losing three children, Margaret in New York and twins Oliver in Limerick. In her darkest moments, she sits silently by the fire, cigarette in hand, seemingly defeated. What defines Angela isn't perfection, but persistence. She sacrifices her portions for her children, fights bureaucrats for welfare, and prioritizes her children even when facing impossible odds. Hunger dominates Frank's childhood. When Malachy works, the family enjoys a brief weekly feast on payday before returning to tea and bread. When he drinks away his wages, Angela must borrow, beg, establish credit with shopkeepers, and endure humiliating interrogations for food vouchers. The children develop survival tactics. Frank delivers coal for pennies, scavenges vegetables, and occasionally steals milk when his siblings are starving. The family burns whatever they find when coal is unaffordable. Without shoes, children cannot attend school or work. Healthcare for the poor is minimal, with hospital care available but inferior for serious illnesses. Folk remedies often substitute: whiskey for coughs, poultices for infections, and prayer for everything else. Poverty redefines moral boundaries. Despite Catholic teachings, Frank justifies stealing food for hungry siblings. His mother enters a degrading relationship with her cousin for housing. Even within poverty, small material differences create significant social hierarchies. Religion permeates every aspect of life in Limerick, creating a complex tapestry of Catholic doctrine, folk superstition, and personal interpretation. The church controls education, morals, and charity, while Catholicism in the Lanes often incorporates pagan elements adapted to poverty. Frank's religious education begins with his father's stories. His first communion ends embarrassingly when he vomits after breaking his fast with sweets as relatives watch in horror. The Christian brothers embody Catholicism at its harshest, disciplinarians who beat students for infractions from ignorance to poverty. Frank develops anxieties about sin classification, seeking absolution from different priests after his first sexual experiences. Folk belief coexists with official doctrine, When the twins fall ill, Angela combines prayer with traditional remedies. Neighbors suggest pressing a dead man's hand to Frank's infected eyes, while the angel on the seventh step explains pregnancies. As Frank matures, he questions the church's wealth amid parishioners' poverty and notices clerical hypocrisy, yet remains drawn to ritual's beauty and prayer's comfort, developing a personal faith that maintains compassion while rejecting rigid judgments. Despite Limerick's harsh school conditions, cold classrooms, brutal discipline, mockery of poor students, Frank discovers an unexpected pathway to freedom through education and words. His journey begins with his father's stories and songs, perhaps the only valuable inheritance Malachy provides despite his alcoholism. Frank pursues knowledge relentlessly, reading newspapers before delivering them, borrowing books from willing lenders, and devouring Shakespeare and Butler's Lives of the Saints. As a telegram delivery boy, he uses wages to attend movies that expand his worldview beyond Limerick's narrow confines. The Limerick Public Library becomes Frank's sanctuary after initially being turned away. There, he systematically reads through shelves, progressing from adventure stories to sophisticated literature. Eventually, Frank's self-education becomes his ticket out. Working as a telegram boy, he saves for passage to America, transforming his childhood poverty into raw material for literary success. America exists as both memory and aspiration throughout Frank's childhood. Born in Brooklyn before his family returned to Ireland, his American citizenship becomes increasingly significant as he matures, providing distinction from peers and a potential escape from poverty. Frank's early childhood memories of America appear in fragments. His father singing in New York bars, Brooklyn cousins, having enough food, establishing America as a place of abundance compared to Limerick's deprivation. When neighborhood children taunt him as the Yankee, the insult carries a mixture of jealousy and resentment. As Frank grows older, America transforms from memory to dream. He absorbs American culture through Hollywood films, glimpsing prosperity that contrasts sharply with his surroundings. American soldiers stationed nearby during World War II, distributing gum and chocolate, reinforce America's image as a land of plenty. By the memoir's conclusion, America evolves from abstract dream to concrete goal. 19-year-old Frank boards a ship to New York with his savings, experiencing not the tearful emigrant's farewell, but a sense of liberation from Limerick's constraints. What distinguishes Angela's Ashes from mere misery literature is McCourt's ability to transform suffering into insight, humor, and beauty. Throughout the narrative, moments of joy emerge from bleak circumstances, creating an emotional landscape that transcends simple categorization. McCourt finds comedy even in dire poverty, from his father's drunken patriotic performances to his deadpan observation that they sit like Indians without the benefit of a wigwam when burning furniture for heat. This humor serves as a crucial survival mechanism. Literature provides another escape. When Frank discovers Shakespeare, Joyce, and Butler, books become his means to understand his circumstances. As his physical conditions deteriorate, his mind expands. Suffering also fosters empathy. Despite his own hunger, Frank shares food with others. His experiences with discrimination heighten his sensitivity to prejudice, while personal losses enable him to offer genuine compassion to others. The extreme poverty of Frank's childhood becomes the crucible forming his literary voice, transforming suffering into storytelling that testifies to human resilience.